hearts of us who lovest mankind with the pure light of thy divine knowledge, and open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of thy gospel teachings, and plant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, that trampling down all carnal desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. Thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our Lord, and unto thee do we send up glory, together with our Father, who was without beginning, and that all holy, good, and life creating Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages.
Amen.
Wisdom, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel.
Peace be unto all. According to St. Luke. Let us attend. At that time, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. She was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall, and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. At that time Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken from her. And it happened as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breast which nursed you. But he said, To be sure, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. I think we're having audio issues with our microphone, so I'm not using the microphone. I don't know, maybe you won't hear me so well, but at least you won't be hearing crackling like you did last Sunday. I don't know, if you can't hear me, just kind of, and I'll speak up. St. Paul talks about the secret things done, or the things done in secret. I think that the secret place in which these things are done in secret would correspond, actually, to the holy place, into which the priest could go only but once a year, and even then not without blood. Which is to say that the secret place is our heart. And the question is, do we ever get into our heart? Where do we live? Do we live in our heart or do we live out here? And when we go home and it's the Sabbath, it's time to rest, what do? When no one is looking, what do we give ourselves to escape from the stress of the day? What do we give ourselves to? Do we give ourselves the things that would rejuvenate us? Not just relax us, but rejuvenate us from within. Well, these shameful things that St. Paul is referring to, done in secret, that he says are too shameful even to speak of, they're of the darkness. They're not of God. And if they are not of God, they are not of us. That's the point. They're not of us. They're alien to us. We're giving ourselves to things that are not of us, that are alien to us. Because we were not made in the image and the likeness of the darkness. We were made in the image and likeness of God. And that image in which we were made is Christ. So it's more accurate to say the image in whom we were made. Even before we existed, we were known by God. And I owe this to one of our catechumens, Megan. It's Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Even before you were born, I knew you, he says to Jeremiah. And when we were brought into existence, we were made a work of art. We were made a poem. That's the word, poema, poieo. We were made a poem, God's poem, as St. Paul says in Ephesians. We are his poem. We are his poema. It's translated as workmanship, but no, the word can be translated as poem. It's a work of art. We are God's work of art. We are a work of beauty, a poem, because we are made in the image and likeness of God, the divine poet. Christ is the true light that illumines everyone coming into the world. All the good things of the light are of God, and these are what's natural to us. Therefore, when we descend into our secret heart, when we go into the holy place of our body, to dwell on these shameful, dark things, we don't fall away just from God, we also fall away from ourselves. Turning to the darkness and turning away from the light, we are turning toward the sleep of death. And death is not natural to us. That's the biblical teaching, Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 13. God did not make death. And he did not make us in the image of death. It says in chapter 2, verse 23 of Wisdom of Solomon, he made us an image of his own eternity. But might our gospel this morning of Christ coming into the synagogue and teaching be an image of the light of God coming into the shadow of the law of the Old Testament. The shadow of the law of the Old Testament could cleanse the outer man. It could even accomplish forgiveness. What does the psalmist say? Blessed is he whose sin is forgiven, whose transgressions are covered. The law of the Old Testament could bring a man near to the Lord. It could even illumine him. The light of thy law, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet, says the psalmist. But this is the point. It could not cleanse him from the death that lay hold of his heart down in that secret place where beneath the trappings of the law that one might observe righteously in his outer man, even beneath the moral and good thoughts we might foster in our mind, as surely the righteous of the Old Testament did, nonetheless the Old Testament saint was still dead in the tomb of his heart, the secret place of his heart. Christ in the synagogue then is an image of Christ in you, the hope of glory. the light of God shining now not just in the ordinances of the law of the Old Testament, but shining in our flesh, shining even in the secret place of our heart, because that's where Christ descended in your holy baptism. Christ has become flesh. God has become flesh. And in the flesh, as a man and as God, he has descended even into the holy of holies of our heart, where by his blood he has cleansed the tomb of our heart from the blood of death. And he has made our heart the secret place into a holy sanctuary. And our body he has made to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. As from the tomb of his resurrection, he teaches us in the synagogue of our soul and mind, and the words of his teaching would illumine our inner darkness, revealing in his light the good things of God that are natural to us, if we would but listen. There's a woman in the synagogue this morning. Might this woman represent our soul? It says that she was weighed down by a spirit of infirmity and could not in any way raise herself up. Is this not our soul, weighed down by the death that ensnares us? However hard we try, whatever we do, however moral or blameless we might actually be, we cannot make ourselves rise up and live. We cannot illumine the darkness of our secret place with the light of God's life, because we are spiritual corpses apart from Christ, outside of Christ. We are spiritual corpses enveloped by spiritual darkness. Now, the synagogue was an extension of the temple in Jerusalem. So we could say that the synagogue in this morning's gospel represents the Christian parish. It represents St. Herman's that extends from the true and living temple of God, the holy Theotokos, who holds in her body the crucified and risen body of her Son. The parish is the mystery of the visible church. It's the mystery of the church in all three dimensions. There's the visible church, the church that you see, that opens on to the invisible church, the church of the heart, which opens on to the heavenly church, the church that is deep beyond all things. For the church is the mystery of the Theotokos, who holds and nourishes the body of Christ. The church is the dread and wonderful mystery of Christ's conception and nativity, of his death and resurrection. From the church comes this fearsome teaching: Christ is in you. The light of God is in you by virtue of your holy baptism. The light of God is illumining the darkness of your secret heart with the uncreated light of God that radiates from the fearsome joy of his death and resurrection. So how is Christ in the synagogue this morning? How is he in you by virtue of your holy baptism? Blessed are the breasts that nursed you, cries the woman in this morning's gospel that we read for the Theotokos, the feast of the entry. Blessed is your holy mother, she's saying. How can the Theotokos not be blessed, most blessed? She's the mother of God, for crying out loud. And the Lord tells us why she is blessed, why she became the mother of God. It's because she heard the word of God and she kept it in her heart. She kept it in the inner secret place of her body. She kept it in the inner beauty of her soul and spirit. And so she was chosen, even before the foundation of the world, to be the bride and the mother of the living God. Just as you were known by God even before you were born. And as we are reading in the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 1, for adult ed on Sunday morning, God chose you even before you were born to be holy and blameless and to exist in the love, the joy, and the praise and the glory of His Son, Jesus Christ. He chose you even before you were born that you should be adopted as His son and daughter. This is His destiny for us. This is what we are predestined to, everyone who was born. Because of the Theotokos, this destiny for which God chose us is now a reality. The uncreated light now stands bodily in the synagogue of our soul and mind. In the Theotokos and through her, the fullness of divinity, the fullness of Christ's Godhead, now dwells bodily as in His holy temple in all of those who receive Him in the sacramental mysteries of the church. The Lord in the synagogue this morning saw this woman weighed down by a spirit of infirmity. She could in no way raise herself up. Does not the Lord this morning see you in the hidden secret place of your soul? He called the woman to Him, it says. Is He not calling us? You'll hear it in a moment. In the fear of God, with faith and love, draw near. Draw near the holy font, the mystery of Christ's tomb, where He has destroyed our death by His death. We call it the holy font of illumination. There in the font, He illumines the darkness of our secret place and fills it with the light of His grace. Draw near the holy font, draw near the holy tomb. Come into the Sabbath rest of God. Come into the synagogue on the Sabbath. Come into your soul in the mystery of Christ's death and resurrection. Draw near the light of His resurrection, shining in the darkness of the secret place in your secret heart. The woman drew near. Who in their right mind would walk away from the light? Only those who love the darkness. But this light of God is not a cold light. It is the light of God that radiates the warmth and the brilliance and the softness and the gentleness of His ineffable mercy and compassion. This is the light that falls on the soul like warm living water. And as it falls on the soul, it washes away all of our filth, all the way down into the secret place, the tomb of the heart. And there it washes away even the seed and the stench of death. Dear faithful, in your holy baptism, the seed of death that was in your heart, killing you, making you to dead, making you a spiritual corpse, that seed was washed away in your holy baptism. The seed of God Himself has been sown in the earth of your body, way down there in the secret place of your heart. And there in the secret place of your heart, you have been given life. You have been illumined because you have received Him who is Himself, the resurrection and the life. You have received, you have been washed. You were made soaking wet with Him who is the true light that illumines everyone who comes into the world. You have received the Heavenly Spirit, not in theory. You received the Heavenly Spirit tangibly in the myrrh that was put on you at your holy baptism. You received it as your anointing, as your bath, a spiritual bath. And you received it as the robe of light that was clothed on you, with which you were clothed at your holy baptism. And you received it as your food and drink. When we receive Holy Eucharist, what do we receive? We receive the Heavenly Spirit because we are receiving the body and blood of Christ, who was conceived in the womb of the Holy Virgin of the Holy Spirit. In the healing light of God that shines in you, from the seed of life that has been sown in the earth of your soul and body, St. Paul calls out to us, wake up, rise from the dead, walk in the light of Christ that shines in you. Don't walk in the darkness. So our work now, having received the mysteries of God and the holy sacraments of the church, having been washed clean, having been made alive, having been illumined with the uncreated light of God, our work now is the work of repentance. This is the work of turning away from Egypt, no, turning away from the darkness, and in the secret place of our heart, making our way to the promised land. Christ himself, he is the promised land. And he says so in the Old Testament. I'm not making that up. Christ says, I am your inheritance. He says that to Ezekiel. He says that to the psalmist. This exodus that we now undertake from the font of our baptism is not obviously an outer journey of geography. It's an inner journey, hidden, that descends into the secret place of the heart and into the empty tomb of the Lord's resurrection. But it's a journey that is filled with the uncreated light. Even as the Israelites went through the wilderness under the cloud of light and under the fire, a pillar of fire. At night it was a cloud of light, by day. This exodus of repentance, we'll call it, is what the Holy Fathers teach us our life on this earth is all about. So why are you here? Why do you live? Why do you exist? Well, in the first place, you exist because God wants to pour out on you all of the goodness of his kindness. He wants you to be a child of his. And he wants to give to you all the riches of his divinity. But having fallen, and having chosen to go towards the darkness and now or not towards the light, nonetheless, he has restored us to the light. And now in this earth and this life, our work, our central work, is this work of the spiritual exodus of repentance. Turning away from Egypt and making our way to the promised land, which is Christ himself. On this inner exodus, we put away the deeds of darkness. We put them away. In our secret heart, where no one but God can see, we put away the shameful thoughts and desires of the darkness. We put them away at our baptism, when we took off our old clothes, and we were clothed in the robe of light, when we put on Christ. In our inner man now, we are on an exodus out of Egypt, and we're not going back to Egypt. Although many of us do go back to Egypt. This is the frustration of the church. She raises people from the dead. She delivers them from out of Egypt. She illumines them. She washes them clean. And then she watches as they choose of their own will and uncoerced to go back to Egypt. And all she can do is say, what are you? Wake up! Wake up! Repent. Turn around. Start going back to the promised land again. Our work in this life now, in our secret heart, we need to be in our secret heart and working to walk toward the light of the east, not to the darkness of the west. This eastern light, the light of Christ's holy resurrection, is the light the church calls out to us to draw near to in the fear of God with faith and love. Because you'll notice that when you come to the chalice, you're coming to the east. You're walking towards the resurrection, the light, the rising sun. So let's draw near to it. Let's give ourselves to it. Let's love it with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Let's live for that light. Let's live in that light, not in the darkness. At our baptism, we walked around the font and the Holy Gospel and the cross. From this day, from this hour, from this moment, drawing from St. Herman of Alaska, let us give our secret heart to these things, the cross, the gospel, the font, that are of the light of Christ. Let these be what we contemplate, what we study, what we dwell on, and what we abide in. Let these things but be what we turn our minds over on, and not the shameful things of the darkness. Live in the mystery of the Theotokos. Let her nourish you with the milk of Christ. Let her mold you back to your original beauty in the image and likeness of her Son, Christ our God, who in his holy church illumines us and works in us the mystery of our healing in the good things of the light of his holy resurrection. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, glory to Jesus, save us, glory to Jesus Christ.